saying he's too old for this.
Karen probably won't say she's too old for it, but Karen probably wouldn't say it anyway, because he's kind of quiet now. Una, I don't know if she knows about this. James might be too young. I think Henry's really too young for this, but I heard that slime has made something of an amazing comeback in the last couple of years. Una, do you know anything about slime? Yeah? What is slime? Oh. Language barrier there. David, do you know anything about slime?
I've heard about it.
You heard about it, great. Slime, what is slime?
It's like a goo you play with.
A goo you play with? Okay. Yeah, I heard that it made quite a comeback here. And John Rawls around 30 years ago. And then there's the original slime, the slime we find in the Bible. We're going to talk about slime today. Slime and the Spirit. It's Pentecost. We have to talk about the Spirit, right? But we're going to start with slime because, you know, these two kind of juxtaposition each other such that your world really is held together by either the slime or by the Spirit. We're going to see that because we're going to juxtaposition here the idea of the building of the Tower of Babel and the building of this Tabernacle of David through the work of Jesus Christ that is brought about by the Spirit of God. And one is held together by slime, and the other one is held together by this and empowered by the Spirit. And one of them has to do with glorifying yourself, making a name for yourself, the Tower of Babel. And the other one about making God's name great. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So we are going to talk about slime. We're not necessarily talking about the slime that some of you young people might be thinking about here. Although that has a connection to what we're going to talk about. So, title of our sermon here today is Slime or Spirit. And I know that you all know that sliminess is a part of our culture, right? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right? Sliminess. That's the other connotation of the slime that runs through what it is we'll be talking about here. Slime or spirit. From Genesis 11, let's read through verses 1 through 4. The whole earth was of one language, one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime. There it is. Slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower. By the way, city's going to come up three times in this passage. Whose top may reach unto heaven. What's the purpose of this? Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord God, for this Pentecost Sunday. And Lord, thank you for the coming of the Spirit and the empowerment of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit to lift up and to glorify the name of Jesus Christ, to hold together this tabernacle of David that's built, this new Jerusalem, this great city of which, Lord God, we pray that we are a part. Help us, Lord, to assess our own lives. Whether we're working with slime or whether we're being empowered by the Spirit, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Because of Pentecost, the world can now be united in a common confession that Jesus is Lord. Without Pentecost, that united confession doesn't take place. Our languages may be different, and our languages will continue to be different. The book of Revelation tells us that out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, that's language. Our languages may be different, but our confession is the same. From every tribe and every tongue, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. great and glorious future. That's now coming to pass. Pentecost was about the coming of the Spirit. If we remember Acts in chapter 2 and verse 5, this was read for us. We learned here that there were devout men from every nation under heaven, all represented here at this feast of Pentecost. And it was about the giving of the Spirit. And it was about this gift of tongues that people from every nation under heaven might hear the wonderful works of God. At Babel, our earlier reading, slime was used to unite people. It held their wall together for a while. It held their city together for a while. Slime was used to unite people in their opposition to God. At Pentecost, the Spirit is given to unite people in Christ. Later on, we're going to see a verse in the Bible. And you know, on Pentecost Sunday, lots of people are talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's great. But we also need to be reminded that the function and purpose of the Holy Spirit, we'll see this verse a little bit later on, Jesus himself says that he will glorify me. The best way to give witness to Pentecost, witness to the Holy Spirit, is for you to be all about Jesus. And not so much all about the Holy Spirit. Because again, in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is deferring to Jesus. You know, Jesus is deferring to his Father. There is this whole mutual appreciation network and team and society. The Holy Spirit is glorifying Jesus. Again, at Babel, slime was united people in opposition. At Pentecost, the Spirit was given to unite people in Christ. We're going to ask some pointed questions, but the first pointed question here today is, what is it that's holding you together in your life? Is it slime? Or is it Spirit? And what are you building towards? The New Testament is filled with this city being built, this tabernacle of David being built, as was the Old Testament reference to the Tower of Babel and that city. What are you building towards, and what are you built upon? This is a sidebar for a bit, but remember Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And Jesus himself talks about, be careful what you're building upon here. And you know this story. It's the old great Sunday school story. Don't build your house in the sand, right? Because the sand is going to be washed away. But build it upon the rock. Right? Build it upon the rock. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, we find out that when we're talking about building our life upon the rock, we're talking about building it upon Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, that rock was Christ, but it was a spiritual rock. The Spirit was a part of that. The Spirit is a part of that which we are to build on that makes our lives rock solid. But getting back to Genesis in chapter 11 and verse 3, as only the King James can, it uses slime. None of the modern translations use the word slime here. And slime has all those connotations. In the original, it has this literal meaning about this gooey mess that was used as a glue to keep things together, used as a mortar, we might want to say. It has that literal meaning, but it also, for us, has this figurative meaning, right? This figurative meaning about sliminess, the sliminess that, you know, continues to shape our culture and our world, and a slime that holds our world together. A slime that holds our world together. Three times in this passage in Genesis, we see a city that is mentioned. We also see in verse 4, there's this famous tower. All for the purpose of us to make a name for ourselves. Let us make us a name. It's all about us. All for the purpose to make a name for ourselves. And what was holding it together? Slime. The Bible calls it slime. In the last 2 weeks, we have been talking about a city, right? Our lectionary reading has in Revelation. We talked about the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And that was all about God making his name great in the world. We read Revelation 21 and verse 10. We We see the spirit as well as the city here. He carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Again, as we juxtaposition Babel and Pentecost here, which many theologians do, but we don't have to get into all their terminology and verbiage and complicated. If Babel is about a tower, Pentecost is about a tabernacle. You know, the first church council meeting in Acts chapter 15, verses 16 and 17, there's this passage there from the book of Amos, and it tells us that it's the work of the Spirit that this tabernacle of David, which is now this dwelling place for God, and if we read Revelation right, we understand that they will be my people, I will be their God, we will dwell with them together, habitation. All nations, the nations who are seeking God, the nations who are praising God, are praising his name here in the tabernacle of David, the work of the Spirit that's taking place. That which is held together by slime will eventually disintegrate. And God will make sure that it does. And that which is held together by the Spirit, that will endure to all of eternity. Pentecost empowers us to build this new tabernacle and this new city. And we don't have to look hard or far to find how the Spirit is this glue, so to speak, if I can use that terminology. In Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, we see that, you know, we're not, the new temple, the new tabernacle, the church that Jesus Christ is building is not about brick and mortar. It's us, right? It's people. Fellow citizens, right? We are stones, living stones, spiritual stones, as 1 Peter would say. We won't go there. But we see that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and that we are all fitly framed together, in whom you are also built together for a habitation of God. This is the work of the Spirit, calling us together in unity, keeping us together, being our bond, so to speak. We see in the same book in chapter 4, in verses 3 through 6, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the Spirit is like this new glue, holding all things together. One body, one Spirit, one called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, this unity here. Who is our Father, who is above all, who is through all, and who is in you all. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, again, we have, you know, this great closing of the book here, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion here. Even within the Trinity, it seems as though the Holy Spirit acts as this unifying force, this common bonding agent. Pentecost marks the gift of the Holy Spirit as the provision that Jesus had promised, right? Our readings tell us about that. The Paraclete, the one who comes to walk alongside of us, and the one who comes to dwell within us, just as Jesus had promised. John 14, 16 and 17, this is where Jesus promised this. We have this read for us, okay? He will dwell with you, he shall be in you. And there's a whole list of benefits and great things that the Spirit does in us, but we cannot forget, as Jesus tells us a couple of chapters later, chapter 16 and verse 14, he shall glorify me. And again, you really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be a person who is enamored with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible shows us slime, Old Testament, left to right, or Spirit. You might say, oh, this is an easy choice. I mean, you know, I'm not a slime person, right? We all would say that. I'm not slimy. But we have to back up and say, wait a minute. Not all slime is easily visible or repulsive or gross. I mean, I think about the slime the kids are playing with, right? You can find these online. These are, you know, internet recipes for home. And they're all clean, right? They're neon green, nice pastel colors. They're They're harmless, they're innocuous, they're not slime in the evil sense that we all, us elderly folk, would think. They're nice, they're pretty, they're fun, right? They're not gross and ugly, there's nothing negative about it. I think this passage from Genesis reminds us that the world, even until today, the world without Christ and without the Spirit is still using slime to hold itself together. The question is, are you doing that? Are you doing that? I want us to take a look at Ezekiel chapter 13. And we'll start in verse 10. I was going to do an extended study of this passage, but we'll just touch on a couple of different things. Here in Ezekiel 13, Ezekiel represents a time in the nation of Israel that is a lot like ours. And he lives in a nation a lot like ours. Ostensibly, on the outside, visibly, very religious. These were God's people. But they did not have a true allegiance. Their culture was like one great big battle. You can look at a prophet like Hosea, where he talks about, you know, they have expanded all the temples. They're all over the place. They're glorious. There's a steeple on every corner. The appearance of it, you have multiplied the edifices all over. It all looked great from the outside. Their culture was a culture that was one great big battle. I don't think I'm wrong in saying, on many levels, our culture is one great big battle. Four times in this passage in Ezekiel, he speaks about untempered mortar. This is the first one in this series. Because even because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, peace, and there is no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Four times we're going to come across that untempered mortar. Now, in the English version, the ESV, this word is not translated untempered mortar. It's tempered whitewash. Another different connotation to this slime. We think of slime and we think of evil and it's kind of gross and slippery and unethical and ugly. And yet also slime, which is the origin of this word here that is now tempered, that is now translated whitewash, means it's made to look pretty. It's just covered over. Remember when Jesus talks about the wicked Pharisees and they were whitewashed sepulchers, right? They looked good on the outside. So think about your life. If what it is that you're working on here, is it slimy? Well, you say, oh, maybe it's not slimy in that negative sense, but is it whitewashed over and just looks good on the outside? The ESV calls this whitewash. But it is the same root word of slime that's used. And literally, it means to smear. Smear on. Which is another word that has different connotations to it, right? We talked about that, I referenced that in Sunday school. A smear campaign means to take somebody else's name and drag it through the mud. Is your life based on that? Is our culture based on that? Where the way to make me look good is to smear the other guy. If that's true, if that's true in whatever setting you're in, whether it's your neighborhood, whether it's in politics, whether it's in the business world, if your modus operandi, the way you operate, is to smear the other person, guess what? You're working with slime. It's slimy in that negative sense, and you may be whitewashing all of your own sins to make them look good. But the origin of that word is to smear. That figurative, negative connotation
is to put the other person down, drag them through the mud. But it also simply means to wipe in a thick paste, to smear. That's what's happening here in Ezekiel chapter 13. Drag them through the mud. Do you realize how many things in our culture, like their culture, how many things in our culture have been whitewashed? I mean, look how good Planned Parenthood looks! What's happening inside of those buildings? You want, you know, exhibit A of whitewashing evil, that's it! How many things in our culture have been whitewashed? They look good, they look clean, they look harmless. But is it a Tower of Babel so that we can make us a name? And the other amazing thing about this, this whitewash or this slime that's being smeared on, and by the way, the New American Standard calls it plaster. What is plaster? Plaster is like, it's pink, it's brittle, it has no tensile strength. It's friable. You can take it in your hand and just kind of grind it to powder with your finger. The thing about all of these things is they do not hold. They're only superficial. They are like plaster, a superficial brittle paint which is smeared on a wall with no holding power. That's what was holding up the Tower of Babel. That's why. That what was holding up the edifices that we see in the book of Ezekiel. Is that what's holding up our culture? Look at verses 14 and 15 in this passage here. God says this, I will break down the wall that you have daubed with this slime, or smeared on this whitewash, or plaster. We can put all those words in there. And I will bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof will be discovered. You'll find out what's really going on inside the walls of Planned Parenthood when the bricks crumble and the slime and the plaster and the whitewash are gone. So that the foundation will be discovered, and it shall fail, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I will accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar. There's the word again. And I will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they who tried to patch it up in that illegitimate way, in that unspiritual way. And so I ask, what are we doing with the level of disrepair in our lives? It's easy for me to, oh, Planned Parenthood's exhibit A, but you know what? Maybe we're exhibit X, Y, and Z. What about us? Is slime or whitewash or plaster or smearing other people, is that what we're all about? And so what are we doing with the level of disrepair in our own lives? What are we doing with the level of disrepair that's in our families? The level of disrepair that's in our churches? The level of disrepair that's in our communities? The level of disrepair that's in our nation? Thank God for Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit is our only hope. Everything covered with plaster, everything whitewashed, is going to disintegrate. God will make sure that it does. Backing up in this very same chapter, if we go to chapter 13, there's this excellent question. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? It's gone. It's disintegrated. It is no more. And so for our application here on this Pentecost Sunday, I want you to be asking yourself as you go forward, as you go around, as you go through your day,
in your everyday endeavors, am I utilizing slime? Whether it comes in the form of shady dealing, whether it comes in the glorified way of neon beautiful pastel colors or whitewash that looks great. Am I utilizing slime to keep my standing, hold myself together, hold my family together, hold the community together? Or am I utilizing the Spirit? Am I using slime, remembering that slime can look really, really, really good? The second question is, am I building a tower like Babel, or am I building the tabernacle of David? Is this thing that I'm doing, and I'm talking about every single thing that you do during the course of the day, whether it's making the coffee in the morning, is this thing that I'm doing, am I doing it for my glory? Am I doing it for my name? Remember, Babel was about that tower. Let us make us a name. And the tabernacle of David, the New Jerusalem, the holy city, is about making God's name great. Let's make God's name great. And if you have to smear the other guy, if you have to smear the other guy, you're working with slime. Just a good thing to remember. In his great love for us and for our souls, Jesus has sent us his Holy Spirit. Thank God for Pentecost. The Holy Ghost is our only hope. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your works of history. Thank you, Lord, that you are our only hope, Father, that there is no moral ascendancy over the generations, Lord. We are just as slimy as people who lived thousands and thousands of years ago in ourselves. Without you, Lord, we're fallen, Lord. Even as the New Testament says, Lord, there's just no good thing within us. Father, we thank you, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts for your rescue, for the blood of Jesus, for his death on the cross, for his resurrection, for his ascension. Lord, from that throne on high whereby he has sent forth this the Spirit that enables us to function with the Spirit and cast aside slime. Slime in its ugliness, slime in its apparent and deceptive beauty. Father, we thank you that the one will crumble and the other lasts for all of eternity. Strengthen us with this. And Lord, be with us every day as we go forward with this challenge about every single endeavor. Lord, whether we're animated and functioning by slime or animated and empowered by